We live in a computerized world. I told you a little bit ago I was shopping with a buddy this weekend, and we were in Dallas, and we went by an Apple store, and people were lined up, two lines out the store and around, and then they stopped them at the escalator and started the line again at the escalator at the top, and they had security people there making sure no one cut in line, and the line at the top went from the escalator down the side over here, pretty good ways, probably about 100, 125 people deep to get the new iPhone. We live in a computer world. The fact is, there are times the computer just won't do what we want it to do, and sometimes the easiest thing is to just turn it off, to start over, to just reboot our computer. Over the last few weeks, we've looked at rebooting our minds and rebooting our hearts, how significant that is. And we've asked that Jesus would change our hearts and our minds. This morning, the title of the sermon is Jesus Direct My Eyes and Ears, or Ears and Eyes. I would tell you this, I think that I could have entitled it easily, Jesus Guard My Ears and My Eyes. If you have your Bible this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 15. And we get to read a familiar story this morning, one that many of us will be familiar with at least. We'll recognize parts of it and probably catch a few things that maybe we were surprised at or things that we don't normally catch when we read through the scriptures. But it says in verse 10, Matthew chapter 15, verse 10, it says, summoning the crowd, Jesus told them, listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then the disciples came up and told him, do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard this statement? Jesus replied, every plant that my heavenly Father didn't plant will be uprooted. Leave them alone, they are blind guides. And if the blind guide the blind, both will fall into a pit. Then Peter replied to him, explain this parable to us. Are you still lacking in understanding? Jesus asked. Don't you realize that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this defiles a man. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimonies, and blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Now, you might think this morning that we've read all about the mouth and what goes in. They're talking about the Pharisees are really struggling with the dietary laws out of the Old Testament that you were supposed to wash your hands before you ate, and they didn't wash their hands and before they ate, and the Pharisees were all upset about it. And they're talking about it. And Jesus says it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of a man that defiles him. I remember for me, probably, I think it was in the sixth grade, I had a group of buddies that we all kind of ran together, probably like most of you. One of them's name was Wayne. Now, Wayne was a great guy. He was an African-American guy. We were great buddies, and we did a lot of things together at school. He even lived next door to one of my best buddies that sometimes I'd spend the night at his house, and so I was around Wayne, and we were pretty good friends. But I remember one day we were in class, and Wayne, I don't remember if he gathered just me or four or five of us, or I don't remember that part of it exactly, but he said, hey, come here, I got something in my folder I want to show you. And so he took me to the back of the room. I think there were some other guys with us. I know if it wasn't in that group, he did it three or four times with four or five of those guys. But he said, come back here, I want to show you something in my folder. Now, I didn't know if he was talking about math or science or our English lesson or what he was talking about. But I remember we go to the back and we sit down at one of the tables in our classroom and Wayne gets out his folder and he opens it up. And it wasn't math. It wasn't science. But there was a magazine in there that had pictures. That was something I had never been introduced to in my whole life. But I trusted Wayne that he would guard me. But Wayne didn't guard me. We live in a world that's not looking out for our best interest. With the magazines that are put out, with the things that are available on the internet, with the things that our world glorifies, with the music that our world promotes, with the movies that Hollywood consistently makes, we live in a world that people are not guarding your heart. And they're definitely not guarding your ears and your eyes. It's up to us to guard our ears and our eyes. The scriptures say that what goes into your mouth is not what defiles you. It's not about washing your hands before you eat. Jesus said it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. That tells me that we need to be careful about what goes in. My preacher growing up used to say, garbage in, garbage out. It's not about the food we eat. It's about the things that we allow to enter into our hearts and into our minds through our eyes and through our ears. That's the lesson for us this morning. God, would you help me guard my eyes and my ears? I think it's interesting in verse 10, it says, summoning the crowd, Jesus told them, listen and understand. Now you got to know this, if you read through the Gospels, you see a lot of places where Jesus summons the disciples. There's a lot of places where Jesus says, hey, disciple guys, come here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you, Peter, you guys come here. I want to tell you something. But there's only twice that you read where it says that Jesus that Jesus summons the crowd. If you'll remember, Jesus didn't have to summons the crowd. The crowd just showed up where Jesus was because he was such an interesting teacher. And he did miraculous things. The people would just follow him out even on a mountainside and just hang out and listen to the things that Jesus did. Jesus didn't have to summons crowds. But he summons the crowd twice. One of them is right here. The other time when we see Jesus does it, he makes a statement that we all are familiar with. And he says this to them. It says that he summons the crowd. And he says this, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. That's the two times that I could find in the scriptures where Jesus summoned the crowd. Why is it that Jesus would summon the crowd when people just followed him everywhere? The fact that people followed him everywhere, I don't think that lends itself to the fact that Jesus summons the crowd because he wanted more people to talk to. Jesus did not seem to have a problem with drawing a crowd when he began to speak or when he began to do something or when he began to teach. So the only reason that I can figure is that Jesus would summons the crowd is that that was kind of a way to say, hey, listen, this is important what I'm going to tell you. It's going to make a difference to you. It's life-changing. It's interesting, but look at verse 11. It said, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. You see, it's not about what goes into our mouth, but it's about what goes into our eyes and into our ears, because those things guide our heart and guide our mind. And we talked the last 2 weeks about everything comes down to the foundation of our heart and our mind. Because we talked about last week that our heart directs us and guides us, but it's our mind that can only think one thing at a time. As miraculous, as amazing, as spectacular as our mind is, all the things that it can control that we don't even have to think about, there's probably not a one of you sitting here this morning who has thought consciously to yourself, I hope my mind continues to tell my heart to beat. I hope my mind continues to help my lungs to breathe. Our mind does all of those things at the same time over and over and over, thousands and millions of times, and yet one thing it can only do one at a time is think. That's why it's so important that we guard and that God guides our eyes and our ears. It's fascinating when we think about it. The fact that our heart is the thing that leads us away from the Lord, because our heart is the thing that seeks after evil. But our mind, we talked about last week, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our heart makes us like the devil, whether we like it or not. And our mind makes us like the world. That's why it's important that we guard them both. And the way that we guard them is by watching and being careful of what goes into our heart and into our mind through our eyes and our ears. But Jesus summoned the crowd. Look at verses 12 through 14. It says, then the disciples came up to him and told him, do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard this statement? And he replied, every plant that my heavenly Father didn't plant will be uprooted. Leave them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind guide the blind, both will fall into a pit. You see, Jesus goes from summoning the crowd to explaining the opposition. I think it's fascinating in verse 12 that the disciples start out the question, when they comment to Jesus, that they start with the statement of, do you know? Now stop and think about that for just a second. We typically, when we read the scriptures, especially when we read a story that we're familiar with, we read it and we just read it through and we don't stop and think. Do you realize that's a crazy way to start any comment to Jesus Christ? Do you know? Don't you know when they start out with that comment that immediately Jesus would have to just start shaking his head and thinking, they don't get it. I wonder if ever they said, Jesus, do you know? And he went, you know, I did not know that. Thank you for keeping me informed. I feel so enlightened. It's fascinating at the things that they said to Jesus, and Jesus just takes them and moves right on. I want you to know what they said about the Pharisees, Jesus already knew it. But I want you to know this. Most of the time, we take for granted that Jesus knows us. Now, if we're not careful, we put the emphasis on knows. And it's not about knows, K-N-O-W-S. Jesus does know you. But the special part of it is that Jesus knows you. And he knows every one of you individually. You see, he knows everything about me. But he knows everything about Tom. And he knows everything about Ron. And he knows everything about Jim. Jesus knows you. I think it's fascinating that the disciples said, Jesus, do you know? But then they finish their statement and say, do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard this statement? Now, you got to know that the Pharisees were commonly offended when Jesus spoke. If you remember, there were a lot of things Jesus said that kind of irritated the Pharisees. The reason for that is because the Pharisees weren't all about the truth, and Jesus was all about the truth all the time. Just a lesson for us. Not what the sermon is about this morning, but just a thought for you. When someone speaks the truth to you and you're offended, you should take note. When someone speaks the truth to you and it offends you, but it's the truth, you really should take note. It's fascinating that the Pharisees got so offended when Jesus would just speak the truth to them. You got to realize that this might be the most startling thing that Jesus ever said to the Pharisees, other than claiming to be the Messiah. Now you might say, why would that be so startling to the Pharisees that Jesus would say it's not what goes in that defiles you? Well, you got to know that the idea that what goes into you doesn't defile you negates a good portion of what the Pharisees believed as their laws. It wipes out a huge portion of the book of Leviticus. That Jesus said these things God said these things you're supposed to eat and these things you're supposed to not eat. You should not come into contact with these. You should not consume these things. Jesus said it's not about that. Now, granted, those are good teachings for hygiene and they're good teachings for health. They're common sense, but they're not spiritual. Hey, it just makes sense to wash your hands before you eat. But that's not a spiritual issue. That's what Jesus is saying to them. There's way more important spiritual things out there to be consumed with and to fight and to talk to people about and to encourage people to do and basically to condemn people for the Pharisees condemned the disciples for not washing their hands before they ate. Jesus said, hey, there's way bigger things out there. It's a paradigm shift for them. It's not about the rules you observe. It's about your heart. It's about the state of your heart. Jesus is trying to get them to understand that your righteousness leads to a particular behavior, whereas the Pharisees thought it was a particular behavior that led to righteousness. You following me? And we would look at the Pharisees and go, why don't they understand? Why can't they get it? And yet we live in a world that's exactly the same way. We live in a world that says, check this box and check this box and check this box. Make sure you do these things and make sure you don't do these things and then you'll be like Jesus. No, 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 no. That's backwards. The truth is we must be righteous, and the only way that we can receive righteousness is by asking forgiveness for the things that we've done that are wrong. And then by grace, God forgives us of those things, and then we are made right. Because God makes us right, not what we do makes us right. You see, the key is to come to Jesus first, and then we're made righteous, and then our behaviors should change. Then our actions should match up with the actions of Jesus. But we want to match the actions first. No, first you got to come for forgiveness. And you got to receive grace. And you got to receive mercy. Hey, when do you clean fish? Before you catch them or after? It's really not a confusing principle. But for some reason, it's extremely confusing to us. That doesn't even make sense that we would clean the fish and then we'd fish for them. No, you got to catch them first, and then you clean them. You see, you got to be caught by Jesus first. You got to be willing to give your life to Jesus, and then He does the cleaning. What fish cleans itself? Travis, that would be a great gig, wouldn't it? If you could get those self-cleaning fish. But for some reason, we think that. We think we can clean ourselves. It's not about our actions and behaviors. That's why the Pharisees never got it. Actions and behaviors are second. Righteousness, rightness was first. You see, when you give your life to Christ, some of you sitting out there this morning are trying to figure out this whole thing, and you think the whole Jesus thing is a fraud. It's because you're trying to figure it out from this side first. You got to figure it out from this side that the first thing you do is just say, God, I trust that you love me. And I trust that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. And I trust that my sins can be forgiven. And you'd say, well, yeah, but you can't trust like that. You can if you trust like a child. That's the reason the scriptures say you must have faith like a child. But we got to get it in the right order, and that's the things the Pharisees could not get in the right order. Understand the opposition. It's interesting, he talks about plants that are uprooted and blind guides. He says, my heavenly Father didn't plant. Every plant that my heavenly Father didn't plant will be uprooted. Leave them alone, they are blind guides, and if the blind guide, the blind, both will fall into a pit. Now stop and think about that a second. Tell me what good are uprooted plants and blind guides. A plant whose roots are not in the dirt, they're just laid out on the top of the dirt. And I've had the opportunity to be to some pretty neat places. I've gotten to go a couple of times to New York City. Fascinating. When we lived in Louisiana, got to go to New Orleans a couple times. Been to the Holy Land a couple of times. Been overseas in Europe a couple of times on mission trips. One time in South America. I've gotten to be at some pretty neat places. But never once when I get off of the plane, wherever those places are, do I say to myself, I got to find me a blind guide. Never once. Because a blind guide just wouldn't be a very good guide. I want them to tell me about the things they've seen and show me the stuff that I might miss. And while they may have a great heart, they just would not be aware of those things. You see, it's a toss-up of which would be more useless, an uprooted plant or a blind guide. And Jesus says you need to know this about the people who want to get it right before they get right. People who want to do right before they're righteous. They're like uprooted plants. They're like blind guides. It's fascinating when you see the way that Jesus makes things so simple. What was Jesus' strategy for uprooted plants and blind guides? It's simple. Jesus said in verse 14, my plan for uprooted plants and blind guides is this. Leave them alone. Stay away from them. That was his plan. You know what his plan is? That's what it was. You know what his plan is? Leave them alone. Stay away from them. Jesus' strategy for uprooted plants and blind guides was and is the same. Because he says, hey, they won't last. It's fascinating. We read in Acts chapter 5 on Wednesday night. By the way, if you're not a part of our Wednesday night Bible study as an adult, you really should be. Now, you can come and have dinner at 5 o'clock. It's great. They do a great job over there for dinner at 5 o'clock. Come straight from work, have dinner. And at 6 o'clock, we come over here and have a Bible study and a prayer time. It's really been going great. I'd invite you to come and be a part of it. We're walking through the book of Acts. We just finished Acts chapter 5. We'll start Acts chapter 6 this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. But in Acts chapter 5, Peter and the apostles have just gotten in trouble for preaching, and they've been rescued from jail and went right back to preaching. And Gamaliel, one of the leaders of the Sanhedrin of the day, the like spiritual congress, the leaders of their country at the time, came to the other guys that were wanting to do something punishment-wise to Peter and the disciples and said, hey, here's what you need to understand. Leave those guys alone. If it's not of God, it'll die and go away. And he gave two examples of other men who had rose up, gotten followings, and when those men died, the people who followed them just dissolved and went away, and it didn't mean anything. But he said this, if what they're doing is of God, you can't stop it anyway. That's what Jesus is saying. Hey, if it's uprooted, if it's not rooted in something good and something healthy, it's not going to last. It's like the blind leading the blind. But if you build your life on what is solid and what is truthful, it will last because that's built upon God, and the things built upon God will last and the things not built upon God will not last. I would just say to you, hey, stay focused. We spend all our time fighting the wrong stuff. We ought to spend our greatest amount of energy not fighting what's wrong, but doing what's right. We spend more time complaining than we do praying. I think the world would be better if we had less complaining and more praying. Spend your time doing what's right. Stay focused. Leave those things alone. But then in verses 15 through 20, after Jesus summons the crowd and explains the opposition, then he understands the cause. And he helps us to understand the cause. He says, are you still lacking understanding? Now you need to know in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11, it talks about kind of this same thing again, and it repeats those. And Jesus is not talking about the kind of food. He's talking about the Gentiles in those particular places, that the gospel's good for everybody. It's interesting in verse 17 that says, don't you realize that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? Do you realize that food never comes into contact with your heart or with your brain? It doesn't. Whatever you have for lunch today will never come into contact with your mind or with your heart. The body will totally change it into a different substance and use it, and what the body can't use, it's dissolved out of the body. It's fascinating when you think of it. What comes out of a man begins in our hearts. Sometimes that comes out is our words, and sometimes that comes out is our actions. Hey, all of our moms taught us this. Actions speak. We all know that. And yet we're so concerned many times with our mouth and what comes out, and we don't think a thing about what we do. Hey, you need to know as a Christ follower, people are watching you all the time. But even if they're not, God is. But it's our actions and our words that come out of our heart. William Barclay, one of the guys I like to read, he said this. He says, "External regulations for religion are more simple to accomplish than the internal ones. External regulations are way easier than the internal ones. It's a lot easier to wash your hands before you eat than it is to allow God to give you a new heart. It's a lot simpler to wash your hands before you eat than it is for God to change your heart to the extent that your mouth is more careful about the things it says." It's interesting that we struggle with that 20 centuries later. We're so concerned with our actions. You see, we go to church and we give money and we take our kids to church. As I was studying this week, I was fascinated. I'm amazed at the people who bring their kids to church and drop them off. Now, is it good that you bring them to church so that they can have someone teach them the scriptures and that Jesus loves them and that Jesus died for them and all of those things that we teach? Sure. The bad part is when you drop them off, you've also taught them another lesson. It's good for you, but it's not good for me. It's important for you, but it's not important for me. It's good for you when you're 10, but it's not good for you when you're 30. You see, we teach all kinds of lessons. And it's significant that we understand the things we say, but also the things we do. Jeremiah 17 says that our heart above all else is wicked and evil. It is all about our hearts. But I want you to know the fuel for your heart is not what goes into your mouth. It's what goes into your eyes and into your ears. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." It's important for us to believe in our hearts. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 talks about being gracious, to have gratitude with our hearts. It says, "Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom and singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." The scriptures in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 6 tell us that we obey because of our hearts. It says, "Don't work only while being watched in order to please men, but as slaves of Christ, do God's will from your heart." 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7 tells us that we should give from our heart. It said, "Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." You see, we always think, when we think God loves cheerful givers, we always think money. That's certainly part of it. But God also loves it when you give of your time to serve at the church, to teach a class, to lead a life group, to referee a ball game, to sell candy bars at the concession stand, to go on a mission trip. God likes it when we give our time as well as when we give our money. I think it's interesting in Psalm chapter 51 verse 10, David says, "Create in me a pure heart, a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's about our heart. How do we guard that? The way that we guard our heart, for all the things our heart directs us and drives us to do, we guard our hearts because we guard our eyes and we guard our ears as to what goes in it. Our hearts are crucial to being who God wants us to be, not doing what God wants us to do. You see, God's more concerned with who you are than with what you do. But once you figure out the who you are part, the what you do part will take care of itself. And the fact is, the fuel for our hearts enters through our eyes and our ears. And we live in a world that is not concerned with helping us to guard our eyes and our ears. For some of you here today, the thing that you need to do to guard your eyes and your ears is you need to change the music you listen to. For some of you, you need to cut out the TV programs you watch. For some of you, it's the people you hang out with. The things they say impact you negatively. For some of you, us, it may be the movies. For some of us, it's the books we read. For some of us, it's the internet. It's all kinds of things. The world and the devil will take any end that they can have. And all they need is a crack. Because if they can get something in your eyes or in your ears, it goes directly to your heart. And our heart is what drives everything for who God wants us to be. We're going to do again today what we've been doing the last couple of weeks, and then we'll have our other invitation. But I wonder this morning, if you're here and you'd say, hey, I either need my eyes and ears renewed, or I just need God to help me guard them better. Would you let me pray for you? If that's you this morning, that you go, hey, I wish God would help me guard my eyes and guard my ears better. I really like that kind of music. But if I'm going to give it up, I'm going to have God's help. I really like that TV show, but if I'm going to be like God, I know I'm going to have to give that up. And I'm going to need His help to be able to do that. If that's you this morning, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like everybody to stand. And if that's you this morning and you would let me pray for you, would you just come down here to the front? If you would like for God to help you guard your ears and your eyes, would you just come to the front this morning and let me pray for you? Now, I said this last week, and when I said it, people just moved out everywhere. Hey, I'm not going to ask you to testify. I'm not going to ask you what it is you're struggling with or where you need help or where you need protection. I just want to pray for you because I believe prayer changes things. Anybody else? Anybody else that would say, hey, I just need some help with guarding my ears and my eyes? We all always think the worst. We all always think if I go down there, they're going to think I struggle with this. Who cares? What we're concerned with is that God knows we want to be who He wants us to be. And when we're willing to take that step, God will do things in our lives that otherwise we could not accomplish. Last chance. Anybody else? All right, I'm going to ask you to do something I haven't asked you before. Raise your hands like this and point them towards this crowd at the front. You pray for them as I pray for them. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this that came forward this morning. Lord, we know that there are so many things that in our power we cannot do. But we know that in your power there's nothing that can't be done. Lord, for whatever it is, that they were willing to come forward this morning that you spoke to them. Lord, I pray that you'd work in their life. I pray that you would help them to guard their eyes, to guard their ears. And Lord, I pray that when it's in a place that it's too much for them to bear, I pray that you would intervene and rush the devil away. Lord, give them your power and give them your strength to do the things they need to do in their lives, to guard their eyes and ears in order that they would have a clean and a pure heart, and that you would renew a right spirit in each of them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seats. You can go ahead and stay standing. I'm going to ask our band to go ahead and come up. And I say to you this morning, has God spoken to you somewhere else? Maybe God spoke to you this morning and it wasn't about your ears or your eyes. Maybe God spoke to you that today is the day for you to give your life to Jesus. That you are willing to trust Him like a child. To get that part first. To be caught and then to be cleaned. Maybe God spoke to you about that today. Maybe God spoke to you about something different. Maybe God spoke to you today that today is the day for you to join First Baptist Church and be a part of the First Family. If there's something I can pray with you about, I'll be here. Alex will be here. Drew will be here. Wherever God led you this morning, wherever the Holy Spirit spoke to you, just be courageous and faithful. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, give us strength and courage to be faithful to where you spoke to us this morning. For each one here that you spoke to, help them to be faithful this morning to whatever it is you called them to do. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.